Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Alex. I went from being a cop to an eight-figure entrepreneur that helps average people like you and me make money every single day. I created this podcast to help you get motivated and to crush your goals. Let's win together. Remember, I have your six. Get ready to level up right now. Hey guys, and welcome to the Level Up Podcast with Paul Alex. I'm here with a phenomenal guest, guys. His name is Danny. Danny actually is the founder and owner of Brand Sharks. Guys, he's here to tell you exactly how he was able to scale to a entrepreneur from being a Division I volleyball player, dude. This is going to be an exciting episode, man. Danny, what's up, bro?
Dude, I'm pumped, man. Thanks for having me here. This is a sick studio, by the way. Bro. This is epic.
I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you, Danny. Guys, so if you don't know like where Danny and I met, we actually met through Andy Elliott, man, like through the Brotherhood, through the Mastermind, and first time we ever met was in Scottsdale last month with PBD. Dude, it was a phenomenal event, dude, but I'm super glad we were able to connect, and now we're here, man.
Bro, I went over, shook Paul's hand, met him for the first time, didn't even know who he was, and he just started spewing bars at me of just marketing knowledge, and I was like, hold on, say that slower, I'm gonna take out my phone and like take some notes like that. What you said to me in that interaction like stuck with me. I knew this guy's a G, bro. So I appreciate you, brother. You're a beast, dude. Anyone getting to listen to this is blessed.
No, I appreciate you, man. So let's get into it, man. Like, so how old are you right now?
I'm 21. I'll be 22 in like a week and a half.
Love that. And let's go ahead and like talk to the audience and tell them exactly how you started from being a Division I volleyball player, dude, to the transition of an entrepreneur where you're at right now.
Dude, I get that question a fair bit on podcasts, and it was actually kind of the other way around. Like, I was entrepreneur first. Whoa. And then had the opportunity to play volleyball at a high level, and then just took it to just kind of like test it out.
Yeah.
And I've always been a big proponent of like, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it the right way. So I didn't really like want to be there. I was just like, I'll be able to be in business and do the entrepreneur thing for as long as I'm around. Yeah. But this opportunity to play D1 is like a window. So I'm going to go play. Went to Long Island University, played for 2 years, was on freshman All-American list, had a 4.0, and wasn't paying a dime to be there. I had a good time, met some of my brothers there, but it just wasn't for me. I always had like the entrepreneurial itch, and I had to get out. So I left after my sophomore year and then went all in on the business because I was still growing the business while I was at college. Like, it was 5 a.m. practice, get off, go to class, work on the agency a little bit, go to sleep at like 8:30, 9 p.m., wake up, do it again the next day. So I was like, I'm doing all right with this while I'm in school, trying in classes, playing sports at a high level. Like, what would happen if I just dropped out and just only did this?
Yeah.
And I had to find out the answer to that. And the answer was pretty cool stuff would happen. You get to meet guys like Paul, go all over the world and scale the agency and help entrepreneurs along the way. So it was a lot of fun, man.
Dude, that sounds badass, especially at such a young age. Like, all right, so for the people that don't know you right now, what exactly is it that you do?
Yeah, so I just post social media videos for fun. Well, at the core, that's what it is. But I help other entrepreneurs do the same thing as well. Like, for example, we're scaling one client right now. He signed up with us. He's at 80,000 followers, has like a 25K coaching offer. He's at 162,000 followers as of this morning. We took over 4.5 months ago.
Yeah.
He's posting for 3 straight years, twice a day, until he started working with us. And we finally just like moved up his content strategy a little bit, started posting at the right times, using the right hooks, just like really dissecting what he was doing. And then he was able to scale like really fast. So at the core, we just help cool dudes and gals grow online with their social media.
So do they already have to be established like as a business owner, or is it could it be somebody that wants to be like an influencer or content creator?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just when it comes to guarantees, because I've always been a proponent, I know I already said this, but like, if I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it right. And if I'm talking to someone and I'm like, okay, this is gonna be like not only a lot of work, but it's going to be hard to scale because, you know, we're not really sure what we're going to be talking about.
Right.
We don't have any sort of following. We've never done content before. We've never been on camera before.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go promising the farm and being like, hey, we're going to scale you to this in the matter of months. Whereas like, if I find someone where I'm like, okay, you got a really good blueprint right here.
Yeah.
You got 75,000 followers. You've been posting for a while. You've posted like 3,000 times.
Yeah.
I know a thing or two that we can just go in here and tweak like a little bit and we'll blow this thing up. So we work with everybody. Like, I'm going to go scale a brand from zero, literally tomorrow. I'm flying up to New York to go film with another member of the Brotherhood, and we're gonna scale his page from zero, and I'm really excited about that. But that's also a good blueprint. Like, guy's a billionaire.
Dude, I love the fact that, number one, you're being super transparent. because as we know, like, especially in 2024, guys, like right now, it's actually hard to scale either like a marketing agency, a program. And it's just because a lot of people have been burned, dude. And I mean, I'm not saying I'm going through that because, you know, right now we're scaling like crazy, but at the end of the day, we do get clients or prospects coming into the space saying like, well, how do I know this is going to be a scam? You know, I got screwed over with like Amazon FBA and all this stuff, right? Amazon was like the forefront leader of that, dude. Like, I remember it was like 2020. Everybody was just like, hey, we can automate your Amazon store. I even bought into it, dude.
I cooked on one of those.
I did too, like, man. Like, they got me for like 30K. It was crazy, you know? But to go back to it, man, like, so your avatar, essentially, and when I say avatar, guys, I know I'm speaking like digital marketing jargon here, but when I'm saying like ideal client, right? Like, who is this for? Because that's what it's about, man. The Level Up Podcast is we're here for people that want to become entrepreneurs and just level up in just general. So you're helping a billionaire out. Let's say there is a small business owner, and let's say they dog grooming. Like yesterday, we had a pretty cool guest on the pod, man, Dennis. And he's from Street Cop Training, and he was talking about like how one of his dog groomers is making $1,000 a day, dude. So like, let's take this example, okay? Let's say I'm a dog groomer, dude. I'm making $1,000 a day. I have major social proof, but I have no following. What would you be able to do for me?
Bro, honestly, like, I wanna go from the direction of this podcast, just like, what can someone listening to this do right now in order to scale their page? Like, if that's okay, like, not necessarily like what my brand could do for them or what like my company could do, but just like, if you're listening to this and you want to grow, doesn't matter whether you're a dog groomer or like you have a cement pouring business or like a super boring one, or even like a laundromat.
Yeah.
The one thing that you can do right now, anybody, any kind of business, any kind of personal brand, is just identify the people who are winning inside of your niche. So like, who's the best concrete pouring business on Instagram? Like, who's crushing it? Someone has to be crushing it.
Yeah.
And just take their account and dissect the videos that did well. So you scroll all the way back down to the bottom and you see when they were at where you're at right now. And you got like 10 views, 100 views, 100 views, 50 views, 100 views, 1500 views, 2000 views, which were the ones that like got that first spike.
Yeah.
Take a look at those videos, dissect them a little bit. Like, oh, like, was it like a good hook at the beginning? Was it super valuable? Was it like controversial? Like, why did this one do good? Then you scroll up a little more, you see their average is like 500, 500, 600, 10,000. Ooh, what happened there? Let's take a look at that one. And odds are you're going to be able to put together a good Google Doc of 100 videos if you just look at the best like 10 people that are crushing it in your niche. And then that's all you need to just get a bunch of ideas. Like, people always ask me like, yo, Dan, like, how do I get ideas for content? You seem to have unlimited ideas. I'm like, I just go to the people I want to be like on Instagram or on YouTube or on TikTok and just like, which one's popped off for them? Oh, dude, of course that one popped off. He made an extremely bold claim at the beginning of the video. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Let me just rework the script that I was writing to just have something super bold at the beginning. So if I was a dog groomer, what I would do is just look up dog grooming on Instagram and just find the pages. Like, there has to be a dog grooming page that has like 500,000 followers with like thousands of posts.
Yeah.
Take the time to just scroll all the way down, because they didn't always have it like that. It wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
You go find their videos that did well for the first time and just mimic those. I'm not saying like copy it word for word, but like, oh, okay, like, this is now the framework that I'm going to use for my first 10 videos. And then you'll see which ones did good for you, and then you just redo those in a different way. Like, there's some creators that are crushing it right now in the personal brand space. Like, I look at guys like Creator Caro is like his handle on Instagram, and he has a couple videos that he just remakes every month that all get like 100,000 plus likes. He's like, if you lock in for February, you're gonna change your life. Or if you lock in the next month of March, like, the whole game's gonna change. If you lock in for April, and he makes it like every month. And each one of them just does incredible compared to all of his other videos. So he just like keeps doing what's working. Then you have a video that flops, and then you just don't do that again, or like recognize why it did bad and then just not do it again. That's
pretty badass, man.
If I was a dog groomer, that's what I would do.
No, that's awesome info, man. You're blowing my mind. And, you know, I have a content team that creates all my IG reels. And I always tell them, I was like, hey, dude, like, I'm not the tax expert here, but I know a little bit about taxes. They're like, they're asking me like, hey, man, we want to make a viral reel. So every single tax advice reel, dude, pops off like automatically. So I'm like, dude, is my niche taxes? I was like, I was just a cop, bro. You know, but no, dude, that's amazing. That's amazing information. So let's say, okay, right now, if someone wanted to grow their following, dude, and they're like trying. Because here's the thing, right? It might be simple for you, it might be simple for me, but it's just like, for someone who's brand new, bro, like it took me a lot of money to invest in myself in like courses, programs, mentors to even learn any of this, dude. What would you say is the simplest and fastest way right now to grow a following from zero?
That's the problem right there. What's the simplest? What's the fastest?
Yeah.
It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like there's no way to do it simple and fast. You need to accept the fact that it's probably gonna be hard. You're gonna get rejected over and over and over again. People are gonna shit on you in the comments and your videos are going to suck. It's not that they're not performing, like they are bad.
Yeah.
They're just not good. You are not good at it. Yeah. And I think a lot of people aren't okay, especially entrepreneurs that have like had a successful business and they get on camera and it doesn't look good. And it's tough to look yourself in the mirror and be like, I suck at this. And not only do I suck at this, but I'm showing the world that I suck at this. And it's tough for people sometimes. So what I would say is just accept that it's gonna be a long road, because I always go back to like when I first started making content, you can pull up the videos online. Like I was 12 years old doing like trick shots, like basketball trick shots in the neighborhood with like my friends. Yeah. We had a wiffle ball league and a trick shot channel. We were like the next dude perfect. And we grew pretty good. Like we had the channel that had like 3,000 subs on YouTube. We were like an official wiffle ball league. And like we were getting noticed by like bigger creators in the trick shot space. But like that was just our fun. Like that's just what we did. Like you got out of school, you knocked on your boy's door and you're like, yo, we're gonna go rip some trick shots. I got my iPod, like let's go record. And we didn't give a shit if it did well or not. Like it was just our fun. Like we were just filming our trick shots that we were doing. And as a result, you're posting two or three times a day because we're ripping two, three trick shots after school every day. And all of a sudden, like you do it for 1 year, you have 1,000 posts. Like of course you're gonna have traction and you're gonna get better at it. The video is gonna get higher quality and you get better at trick shots as a result. But most entrepreneurs get into the game. They're like, all right, like how can I optimize for like my social? And I can just, all right, how do I spend 1 hour a day doing this and just outsource the rest of it? And like, that's just, it's just a fallacy. Like you're just not gonna grow. You're not gonna be able to compete with someone like me or someone like you that just like, all right, let's do this the right way. Let's get a big studio. Let's open this up. Let's have some cool guests on our podcast, or someone like me that just eats, sleeps and breathes it. Like I wake up and I'm just thinking content. Like I'm on a podcast like this. I'm like, all right, like how can I say this in a way that like I'm gonna get a clip out of this?
Dude, you got a clip out of this right now. You know, several clips. But no, dude, that was badass. That was badass. And it goes back to like what we were talking about. Like, you know, I launched this pod 6 months ago, back in February, dude. We just got traction last month. Dude, today we looked at the stats, 500,000, which it blows my mind, bro, because like you got people doing pods for years. But the one thing that I do see missing, consistency, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They're not disciplined. They're like doing it on and off. They're like, okay, I'll decide to do a pod.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, like you can even ask Emilio. I mean, Emilio's, you know, my video guy. He's my editor. He's my audio guy. He's my right hand. But Emilio, like, he'll be like, Paul, he'll call me at 6 a.m. Hey, bro, are you coming in today? Like, are we going to do this or what? I'm like, bro, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay, I'm on my way. And we get it done no matter what, so we don't miss an episode. And now we're, like, at episode 130-something and some change, bro. But it's just been consistent. So, no, bro, that's truth to what you're saying.
That right there is so important, just, like, having that dude that'll call you at 6 and just, like, yo, we got to do it.
Yeah.
We got to do it. Yeah. Because if you're by yourself, it's so tough to stay disciplined. Like, the alarm goes off. It's like, well, no one's going to know. Like, if I sleep another hour, like, it'll be fine. Like,
100%.
6 instead of 7, like, 7's fine. Yeah. But, like, you have that dude or, like, yeah, you're, like, your gym bro or something or that accountability buddy, and you just, you're getting after it. But, dude, that's awesome, man. It's exciting. I kick myself a little bit because I'm finally back in like the consistency of the podcast. Yeah. I have one called The Coolness Club. And I did like 50 episodes.
Yeah.
Unposted. Professional studio, cool guest, or like just me. But I literally only did them for the clips. Because I'm big on social media. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, dude, I ain't shit about podcasts, bro. Like I'm just gonna rip. Like these are gonna be some sick IG reels. And like they did serve the purpose. It was well worth the money I spent on the podcast to like not only connect with the people, that's another thing. So you have the podcast, you connect with some cool people, have cool guests on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Like that's a big hack.
Yeah.
But also just like the clips. I was farming clips off of the podcast. Like I'd find a buddy of mine where like we would disagree on something, but like overall have the same mindset. And we would come up with questions that we thought would disagree with each other, and we would talk for 3-4 hours.
That's badass.
One iPad here, he would have the iPad and we would just talk and like either argue with each other or like agree with each other. And like one question would go off into like five. Next thing you know, you're talking for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And the amount of clips you have from that's insane. Like there were some times when I was in Colombia, we didn't have a podcast studio. We're actually building one right now in Colombia. That's a complete sidebar. But we'd go to this podcast studio and we'd be like, okay, this is going to be a long one. I'd bring like three outfits and be like, okay, like this is a good stopping point. Let's change and get more clips out of this one. Like I want to be in the same outfit the entire time.
Yeah.
Just because we'd farm them off of the podcast like crazy.
Dude, that's badass. Dude, like, and I side note, Colombia. Let's talk about Colombia real quick. Dude, this is good. This is going to be good. So, okay, Colombia. What was the move, dude? And bro, you're like, you're 21 and you're going to Colombia. That's amazing, bro. Like, I just literally went to Colombia 2 weeks ago at the age of 36, bro. And like, I didn't go out there, you know, like I know the whole passport bros and all that stuff, but like, dude,
I swear I didn't either.
Yeah. Like, no, you probably went there for like business, you know, and the cost of living, which makes sense, dude, because you're a digital nomad. I mean, you're able to work from anywhere, bro. Like it would be silly to stay in the States at your age, dude, especially when you're trying to build a business, you're trying to save money, reinvest the money into the business, make it skyrocket. Dude, so like what led you to Colombia?
I have so many thoughts on this.
Come on, let's rock.
So Colombia, that was completely out of the blue. So a year ago today, like around this time a year ago, I was actually living in Miami. I was up in Weston, and it was with like a grind house with the boys. And we had like, it wasn't even like Brand Sharks, the agency yet. Like I was working with another digital marketing agency, which like sidebar, those guys are awesome. I love them to death. Like it was sick time, like being at that house working with them. But around January, I got a message from one of my clients at that company. He said, hey, like, I see you're doing like this digital marketing thing. You're doing some videos. Like, why don't you come out to Colombia? We have a couple of events going on. I think it'd be good for you to meet some people. I miss you, bro. I think you'd love it and you'd get some good video off it. I was like, fuck it. I'm just gonna go. Like, it was almost like didn't tell a lot of people. I told my mom because I got to tell my mom.
Of course,
like, what are you doing going to Colombia? Like, Colombia, like,
I know she
South
was,
Carolina?
She was tripping.
South Carolina, or are you talking about South America?
Yeah.
South America. We go to Medellin.
Dude, oh my God, like,
you're
going
to die. Like,
yeah.
But we went, and that was a big turning point in my life because I've always been a hard worker. I've always loved business. I've always loved sales. I've always loved social media.
Yeah.
But I didn't have like a really big network or like a lot of know-how and experience. They call it like the Dunning-Kruger effect, where like the less you actually know, the more you think you can do. And I was like this 20, 21-year-old that just like I didn't know anything. I still don't know shit. But I'd be like, I'm gonna do this. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it, and I know I can do it.
Yeah.
So I would go down there and go to these events, and I meet these people. I'm like, wait a second. This guy's from Britain. This guy's from Australia. This guy's from somewhere in Europe. This guy's from Canada. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm downloading WhatsApp. I'm putting in +44 on the country code. I'm like putting +971 for Dubai. I'm like, I'm meeting people. And that was like, I was addicted to that. I was addicted to being able to go anywhere in the world and having someone that's like, you could give it just a crisp dap up to. We're like, yo, that's my homie. Like, oh, I'm in Dubai. Like, I know three guys there. I did a podcast with Sartorial Shooter that was down there. We did a couple other podcasts. And like anywhere I go now, like there's people. And I was very focused on that. That's what, like when you said passport bros, I was like, I promise you that's not what I went. I promise that's not what I went for.
Yeah.
And I got to build my network really good there and then got addicted to traveling. I had a client, high ticket client, fly me out to Spain. And we filmed with them for a week. So that's like my favorite offer to do, is like where I get flown out to places.
Yeah.
We went to Marbella, Spain, flew me out for 1 week. We got 6 months worth of content for him, 1 week of filming. It's like he rented a boat. We got a couple like supercars, rented a podcast studio, and we were filming nonstop, like interviews in the streets, interviews on the boats, questions this, question that, 6 months worth of content in 1 week of filming. And that was like awesome. Then I went to Spain. Then we went to Greece, Czech, Italy, France. I'm gonna miss a couple places, but we hit like 9 countries over the course of like 2 months.
Yeah.
And that was like, I just crammed so much experience into the last like 2 months. It's ridiculous because I heard like men don't mature through age, they mature through experience and suffering. So like, let's just cram as much experience and suffering into the last 2 months possible, because everywhere I go now, it's almost like Like, I had a member of my team. He was new to our team, and we were doing, like, interviews. He's like, dude, you're really young.
Yeah.
Bro, like, I'm honestly sick of hearing it. Yeah. But I've been doing what I do for work for almost 10 years, social media. I've had this business for a pretty solid bit, and I just sold a piece of it to private equity. Like, I hate to, like, oh, dude, you're young, bro. I was like, nah, I'm a real dude, you know?
Yeah.
But I know it's a, I know it's a blessing, but I kind of got a little sidetracked, too. You mentioned something. This is a big thought I have, like, recently, because I've been all over the place, and now I'm, like, ultra dialed in right now. Like, I got done with the whole, like, traveling. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never been this locked in my entire life.
Yeah.
And you say, like, yo, I'm a digital nomad, location freedom. I can do this from wherever. I am talking to the young entrepreneur, or maybe not young entrepreneur, that is growing their business right now. Like, you want to grow your business. Listen to me. You cannot do it while you're traveling. You will not do it while you're traveling effectively. It will crumble. Save it for when you've automated it. Save it for when you have a CEO in. Save it for when you're truly free. Because that was one thing. I was, like, prematurely thought I was free.
Mm.
And I'm realizing right now that I wasn't, because I'm still deeply involved in the business that I have. Like, I still do a lot of the consulting. I still oversee a lot of the stuff. Yeah. I was like, dude, I'm a nomad, man. Yeah. Like, I can go wherever I want. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whoever I want. And, like, boom. It was like, it wasn't like too much bad stuff happened, but like one thing goes wrong and like all of a sudden you're in Greece, you can't read any of the street signs, you don't know where your next meal is coming, the AC breaks down, your data's not working, and like you have to deal with all of that because it's right in front of you.
Right.
But like your processors also just got frozen.
Dude.
So it's like, oh shit.
No.
That's- and I'm like, you can do it. You can. But you're not going to be able to compete with the version of yourself that locks yourself away in a room until the job's done.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I totally agree with you, especially going a day to day. If you don't have a CEO, you don't have a COO. Dude, like earlier this year, finally went on one of my dream trips, which was South Africa, dude. I went on like a few safaris. Time difference was completely opposite than it was here, but nothing stopped. Nothing stopped. And that's the greatest feeling in the world, dude, to know that your income turns essentially to either residual or passive income once you have the systems in place. But not a lot of people understand that. You know, a lot of people think that, hey, I'm gonna be a marketer, I'm gonna work online, I'm gonna do an e-commerce store, I'm gonna do an agency, and then they think, hey, I could go ahead and travel, I could work on the plane, I could do this. Well, you know, when you're traveling, dude, there's gonna be a lot of stops. There's gonna be a lot of distractions. You're not gonna be comfortable. You're not gonna be zoned in. And it's very hard to focus. And focus is a big portion of this, man.
Everything.
It's everything, dude. It's everything. You have to be locked in, just like you said, dude. And it's so, like, dude, like, I love this. I love the fact that, and I know you don't like people calling you young, but like, dude, at your age, I was not thinking like you whatsoever, dude. Like, I was still like, I guess because I came from like a small town in the San Francisco Bay Area. I had moved with my mom. My dad left me at 2, dude. So like, I was literally like I wasn't exposed.
Yeah.
It seems like you were exposed at a young age, which is good, dude.
Well, my generation has an extreme advantage and disadvantage at the same time.
Mm.
We have Instagram, which means we have Hormozy, we have Gary V, we have all of these people that we can study. But we also got TikTok girls shaking ass left and right. We got memes. We got doom scrolling. Like, it's double-edged sword. Like, you can choose the right path and get set completely ahead.
Yeah.
And you can choose the wrong path and get set completely behind. Like, I had to take Instagram off my phone because even like to this day, like I'll go on there to search something up or like to find a client and like help them do something or like run a post or something like that or like help out or post a story. And I'll forget what I came on there for. I'm scrolling. Mm. I'm scrolling. And I'm like, I have to get this off my phone. This is poison. It literally is poison. I get it off my phone, which is ironic considering my entire business is social media.
Absolutely.
But Andy made a really good point of like, dude, just have it on your computer.
Yeah.
Like, go there when you intentionally need to like answer messages or do something. So that's that. I had a point that I was going to make, but I lost it. But I'm 100% with what you're saying.
No, man. So let's talk about like actually who you work with, man, because I'm a big believer in leading by example, right? And the fact that we're both in the brotherhood with Andy Elliott, dude, it's badass. It's badass that that's how we met. But I want to go to and talk about, like, what do you think about, like, actually running a business? Like, currently right now, how many employees do you have?
Right now, we're pushing about 50.
50?
It's like 47.
Okay. And how's your structure? Like, do you have, like, a COO? Do you have management? Are you still, like, in the trenches? Like, are you, like, dabbling in, like, doing the sales calls and still doing the creatives? Like, how are you structuring your business right now?
Yeah, I'll talk candidly. I'm getting my real-life MBA as we speak. I dropped out of, like, not literally, but I'm saying, like, in real life, I'm getting my MBA. Like, I dropped out of college, and with that, like, dropout mindset, it's like, I'm just going to grit my way through this. I'm just going to bring in as much money as possible. I'll fucking figure it out later.
Yeah.
And that was the mindset I had that took me to, like, a pretty good spot at 21. And then you get to a certain spot, and you can't break the ceiling because you don't know the actual business fundamentals. So if I can talk to, like, the newer business owners for a second, like,
of course,
don't overlook the boring stuff, like the accounting, the systems, the legal structure, because if you're gonna be successful at all and you're gonna have a good business, it's gonna hit you like a ton of bricks once you get to a certain point. And I was that guy that was just like, bro, I'm gonna steamroll my way through this, bro, I'll fucking figure it out. And now I'm in the figuring it out stage, which, like, I'm getting to the point where it's like informed optimism, where it's like, okay, I know what I have to do. It's just gonna be a little bit boring. I'm not doing, like, the fun stuff. I'm not, like, I love sales so much, I'm, like, not taking as many of the sales calls. We have a sales team now, we have sales leadership, like funnel builders, stuff like that, like, where, like, they build, like, the sales systems. They say, like, the lead never falls through the cracks. I'm like, yes, I love this.
Yes.
Bunch of sales guys, bunch of editors, bunch of project managers, bunch of social media managers. So the structure is kind of like me holding it all together, and then I have one other guy who's, like, my VP that just kind of, like, also holds it all together. So, like, I'm working out the structure right now, but what I've been doing is just emphasizing the client experience at first. I'm like, I'm working on my systems. Like, that's my main job day to day now. It's like, all right, how do we legitimize this more and more as, like, a firm, instead of, like, because, dude, we deliver for clients, bro.
Yeah.
Like, when we were ragtagging the agency, like, we were crushing for clients. Like, that's the thing is, like, a lot of people, when they start a business, they know what they're doing. Like, we could crush for, like, three people at one time when we first started. And then it was like the fourth one would come on, and they're like, yo, like, things are taking a little bit long, and, like, systems weren't working as good as they could. So I was like, all right, let me take a step back, fix this, so, like, we can provide the good service to more people.
Yeah.
And now, like, this past month has just been building the biggest foundation possible. I joke around with the team, it's not really like a joke, but I'm like, you build a small foundation, you build a low building. You build a medium foundation, you get a medium-sized building. You build a really wide foundation, you build a skyscraper. I said, we're going to the fucking sky. Like, we need to build the big foundation. We got to do a little bit of a reset. We got to lay off some clients that don't fit the bill of what we're doing moving forward, which is a big thing, dude. I think saying no to money propels you so much.
It does.
Where it's like, I just want to bring in as much money as possible from as many people as possible. If you had legs and could give me money, I was ready to take it and do whatever I could for you. And the reality is, like, sometimes that's not in your zone of genius, or it's not, like, what you really want to do, or it distracts the team, it spreads the team too thin, it spreads you too thin. Whereas if you were just like, this is what we do, this is our ideal client, if you want this and we can't do it, or this is not our thing, we'll just send you to someone that does a really good job, because I just want everyone to have a good experience. But if you fit this mold, we're gonna fucking crush it for you.
Love that, dude. I love that. So let me ask you this, man. How do you hire your people? Because I think that's, like, the hardest thing to do right now in entrepreneurship, especially, like, in the online space, like the remote space, man. Because, like, you got to think about it like this. Like, let's say you get sales consultants. I know you love sales, but, like, right now, dude, like, the dilemma we have three different companies, and we're just one company, dude. They're just going in and out. Like, we're changing underwear, dude, with the sales team. And it's just because it seems like people, number one, they're just quitting left to right. What's your perspective of, like, hiring the right person for the company?
I think that sales and other employees are different. This is just coming from me. Like, I don't have a ton of experience with this. So, like, take what I say with a grain of salt. I'm not saying I, like, know 100% what I'm talking about. This is just the way I do it. With sales guys, I incentivize them so much. Like, the sales guys that I have make bank. Like, the percentages that they get are fat, and they know if they go to another offer, they're not going to give as much as I am.
I love
that's just the reality. I came up in sales. Yeah. I love sales. I got a lot of respect for sales guys. You get in the trenches, you don't want to get, like, screwed over by the guy that's, like, just making bank off you and, like, in live time, not doing anything while you're closing all the deals. So I give them really good, like, compensation for what they do. That's sales. But I also have very high expectations. Look, I'm going to give you this. And if you've been in the high ticket space, you know that 25% monthly recurring is crazy.
That's crazy, bro.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
So I said,
I'm shocked.
Here's what you're getting.
Yeah.
This is what's expected of you.
Yeah.
Is this okay with what's expected of you? And if yes, okay, well, this was going to happen if you don't do that expectation. It's just very clear, because I had a lot of gray area with the sales team at first, because I'd like bring on like my boys as sales guys, like, yo, big opportunity, or just like throw a story up. People be like, I want to do sales. I'm like, okay, join.
Usually
and then
that
it's
happens.
Like, and then it's like, well, where were you on the sales meeting? Where were you on this sales meeting? You missed three in 1 week, dude, what the hell? And I was like, okay, all right. If we want to grow as a company, we had to just dig our feet in and just set the standard. So I had a call with every single person in the company, sales, fulfillment, managing, project managers, every single person in the company. It was like 40 or so calls at the time, one-on-one. Here are the expectations. Is this okay with you? And I learned this from a mentor of mine. Shout out my guy, Colby Jubenville. He's a freaking beast, dude. I love this guy to death. He taught me the container of trust. It's four questions that you ask every one of your team members in order to find out if they're a good fit to work with the company or not. You get on the one-on-one with them. You say, hey, number one, do you think I have the competence to take us to where I say we're going? Because as leaders, as visionaries, I know, like, I'm preaching the vision to my company all the time. I'm sure you are too.
Yeah.
Number one, do you think I actually have the competence to lead us where I say we're going? Number two, do you think I have your best interest in mind? Mm. If the answer is yes to both of those, it's good. Because now you know that I'm competent, or you think I am, or you're going to tell me straight to my face that I am, and you know that I have your best intentions in mind. Okay. With that being said, number three, here are the expectations. Are you okay with it? And like, I up the expectations with my team. I'm like, we are going to 1 mil a month very quickly.
Yeah.
And if we want to do that, we gotta be here with the expectations. Is this okay with you? If no, I'm sorry. Here's a couple recommendations of my other buddies that are entrepreneurs I think you'd be a good fit for. But if yes, let's ride, okay? Number four, this is what happens if you don't fulfill on those expectations. Mm. You're gone. Those are the four questions I ask every single person in my company, and everyone has been on point since. But I also show up every single day.
Yeah.
Like, they know that, like, my green dot is popping up on Slack at 6 a.m. And they're in Europe, and it's, you know, 12 p.m. there, and they're seeing Danny active at 6 a.m. Like, it's also, like, is your leader showing up every single day, too? I think that's a big thing.
Dude, Danny, I resonate with you so much, bro, because I always tell my C executives, like, hey, dude, they got to believe in you. They got to believe in you. They got to want to be you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to resonate with you. Because if they don't, guess what? They're not going to respect you. One thing that I like that you said, bro, was that, like, dude, I've been in sales, so I know how it is. Sales guys will not respect you unless you did sales.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't believe that, dude. It's just like, I don't want test takers, dude. I want people that have been in the trenches, they have the results, and they're gonna come in there and actually groom them. They're gonna pour into them. So that's awesome.
Well, dude, the sales guys learn off of my calls.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, guys, you see what I did here? Like, this is what, and I'm on the one on the training with them. I'm like, okay, you see where I transitioned this here? You see how I didn't even realize we got into the presentation right here, and I just transitioned like this. You see how I asked them this in this situation? You see how I pulled back here? Like, I'm doing this intentionally, okay?
Yeah.
And like, it's me on the call and me dissecting the call. And then you just see a pay in full, like, monthly retainer at the end of the call. It's like, okay, got to know what he's doing. That's the other thing with the age too, is like, everyone, you kind of start on a lower rung of respect for most people, depending on the person. You either start at a higher rung of respect, like, how are you doing that at this point?
Yeah.
Or for some people, you start on like a lower rung of respect. Okay, he's not as experienced. Like, maybe he's got a lot of energy, but he's not like as seasoned. So for me, it's just been like, I just show up every day and kill.
Yeah.
And let one point or another, you're going to be like, okay,
you got to crush it.
Okay. I'm going to go to war behind this guy. Like, he's leading us in the right direction. But it's every single day showing up, because the day that you slip and the day that you're not there. And like, I make a promise to my team. I said, I will never be 1 minute late to any meeting. I will always be there on time. Morning meeting at 9 a.m. The link will get dropped at 8:59 or sooner every single morning. You'll never see me hop on at 9:02 ever.
Love that.
Because I've been a part of other companies, and like, I've had leaders where like my respect went like this, and leaders where my respect went like this, and leaders where my respect was like this.
Yeah.
And these guys just show up every single day. Like, I had my first coach in college for volleyball. He was very strict. He was like, if you're 1 minute late to practice, the entire team runs except for you. The recruits come on, you don't give them any drinks. Like, you're not taking them out to, like, you're not partying, you're not doing anything with them. And everyone listened to him and respected him because he was Mormon and he had never drank alcohol in his life.
Wow.
He was telling us not to drink and not have the recruits drink, but we know he never had a sip of alcohol in his life. So it's like, okay, he's not asking us to do something that he's never did. We had other coaches that was like, well, don't let the recruits drink. And like, you'd accidentally find them like hammered at one of the bars close by to school. It's like, well, no, we're going to go drink with the recruits, kind of thing. So I've always been like, leading by example is a huge thing. And I'm just going to show up every day and kill. And like, if you want to join, like, let's go get them.
I love that. I love that. Dude, so if you're actually looking for people that like want to work for you, dude, where can they go apply it, man?
I mean, honestly, if you, I'm not really like hiring right now. We're at a really good spot, but there's always a spot for a true beast. So if someone's listening to this and you're like, I like this guy, I want to work for him. My handle on Instagram is @coolness, exactly how it sounds. You can shoot me a DM on there. I'm always on, or someone on my team will be in there and checking it out. But we got our team right now, dude. I'm excited with where we're at. And I don't want to like be changing like underwear, like you were saying. Like I just want to have like the squadron that we're just like, let's go. Like this is the company and we're going to do this together. And we're meeting all the time and we're really tight knit. So
dude, like I'm a big believer in that. But I already know I'm gonna get people on DMs. Like, hey, bro, like, what was it? Where can I go apply for this guy? I love this guy.
Is it I love this guy or I love 25%?
Either or, but hey, dude, you're gonna judge and you're gonna be like, no, this guy's a killer. I want him on my team, right? Yeah. But hey, man, let's get into some deeper conversations, man. Okay. I gotta ask this, man, because I'm huge on this, man. I always talk about my story, something I call the $1 million story. And your $1 million story is essentially like why you do this. What is your why, dude? Like my why, everybody knows, dude, that follows me for the past couple of years is like my mother. Single mother, dude, used to work as a housekeeper at the Four Seasons. She would still come home middle of the night, cook me dinner, dude, like look out for me. And like I was able to retire her, dude, like 5 years earlier than she was supposed to from UC San Francisco back in California. And now my new why is like me building. I just got married like a month ago, bro.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Awesome. But now my new why is just like I want to have like 3-4 kids, bro. Like I'm ready for the next level to push me to like where I need to go. So right now I'm building everything for my future kids and like the future generation of my family. But what's your why, bro?
Dude, I've gotten asked this a couple of times before and it stumps me. Like I remember saying point blank on another podcast, like I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't wake up and I'm like, I'm doing it because of this. Because like, dude, my mom, she's my number one too. Like that's my best friend, that's my girl. Like she was the one that like taught me everything that I know and instilled all the values into me. But that being said, like she would not want me to retire her.
Yeah.
Like she loves working. She loves waking up and getting after it. She's like, you better not take me out of my job or out of work. I say, Mom, we're gonna start a business together. We're gonna do this. I'll be like, we're gonna be on these islands in Greece and going to Italy. She's like, I don't care. Yeah. So it's like it makes it tough for that to be the why, but like I want to be able to change the lineage in my family. We're like not necessarily like money's never been a problem, and then we didn't grow up like poor. I grew up really well, not like rich kid type of stuff, but we were like suburban family. Yeah. Family loved me. Mom and dad were together, and I have a place that I can go crash if I fuck up completely in business. Like that's my like silver spoon, you could say, in my mouth, like the ace up my sleeve. And people are all, dude, you got a real set of balls, and you're really risky doing all this stuff. I'm like, I could go in so much debt and fuck up everything in my life and just like plop on my mom's doorstep and be like, hey, I'm trying again. She's like, okay, I'll get him next time. Like that's the ace that I have up my sleeve. But my why is changing the lineage and how people think. I like one of my biggest fears is getting so wealthy and successful and having kids that are just like lazy wimps. Like some of the rich kids I know just suck.
Yeah.
Like their dads are mad cool because they were the ones that like built the stuff and then like didn't instill the knowledge into their kids. They just gave them a bunch of money and a trust and just said, yeah, go run it, private school. And the kid just ends up being like a wimp. So that's one of my biggest fears. So I want to be able to like instill that education inside of the kids too, where it's like, my son's not getting anything, dude. Dude. And this is subject to change, dude. I'm 21. I don't know anything. I'm going to have kids.
Bro, but you're an old like, soul, bro. Like this whole conversation, I feel like I'm talking to like someone that like is like my age. Like,
appreciate
you're old soul, bro. No, like real shit, dude. Everybody that's listening, like this is awesome. This is great information. You're laying down the foundation for like the youth right now. So let me ask you, dude, like what do you think about the public school system right now? Like, do you think like, let's say if you had kids in the future or whenever you do have kids, based on what you know now, bro, and the possibilities, like you said, Instagram changed the game for your generation, right? Compared to my generation, because dude, I wasn't using social media for 8 years since MySpace. So
MySpace, I don't even remember that, bro.
Bro, I'm just saying.
I was born in 2002.
That's what I'm saying, bro. You know, I'm aging myself. I know. But with that being said, dude, like, what would you tell, like, let's say your son, he's about to be 18, but like, hey, dad, like, what do you recommend? Should I go to college? Like, I have the grades, or should I go and like start this business and make it happen?
I think that the best motivation comes intrinsically. And I know that if I don't mess up, my son's going to have a pretty good head on his shoulders and he'll be able to decide what's best for him. Mm. Because if someone told me what to do, I would have told him, like, fuck you. Like, I'm going to do whatever I want either way. Yeah. And I used to get pushback from my parents about it. Like, because I'll back up a little bit.
Yeah.
I graduated high school in 2020, COVID. The graduation was you pull up in a car, they say, what was your name? And then you say your name to the person, and then they announce it on the microphone, they hand you your diploma, and then you drive away. That was my graduation 2020 year, COVID.
No way.
After that, so at this point, I know nothing about business. I'm not in entrepreneurship at all. I didn't even know that this world existed. And I was committed to play Division III volleyball at a school called Keuka College. It was about an hour away from home. I was going to be roommates with one of my buddies from high school, and we were going to have a great time. August, middle of August, 2020, I'm about to go move into school at this D3, this Keuka, and I get a call while I'm on the golf course with one of my friends. I goes, hey, is this Daniel? I said, yeah, because I got some information about the men's volleyball team. I said, awesome, dude, I'm excited. I already got my roommate picked out. I've already like picked my classes. We've already sent like the deposit. Like, what's up? He goes, oh, we're cutting the men's volleyball team. COVID happened, and we had to cut some teams. Men's volleyball was one of them. Like, you still coming here? And I was like, what? What are you talking about? My life is just crushed at this point. Like, this was the one thing I was like working so hard for. And I was like, dude, I don't even know like how to make this choice. Like, do I go and just kind of exist there and like look for something else? Because it was like a week and a half, 2 weeks before school started. Yeah. So you're not picking another school. You're not getting picked up and on a roster of another team in time. And I was like, dude, I don't even know what to do. So I took a gap year. In that gap year, I started door dashing. And that was like my first kind of hit of, wait a second, like I make how much I work. It was like, I'm not confined into hours. I can DoorDash in theory from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. and make like $300 a day. And that's what I was doing while during that DoorDash period. Take like $300 a day, not spend anything. Put it into crypto, was buying Ethereum at like $200-$300 in 2020. And it just grew. And I had like 50K saved at like 17, 18 years old.
Hell yeah.
So I was like, okay, I am not going to college at all. This is what I'm like, I made $50,000 in half a year at 17, 18 years old. Like, why would I go to school for 4 years, go into debt, and then try and get a job that's going to make me as much as I was fucking door dashing? Like, what is this? Makes no sense. So my parents there were like, well, okay, pause for a second. Like,
yeah,
you should at least try and go to school and like see what it's like. And I'm like, no, I'm not going at all. Fast forward one more summer, I play pro beach volleyball for 2 years. So I'm playing at a tournament, and one of the coaches comes over. I didn't know who he was at the time. He goes, hey, like, it was the best tournament I'd ever played. Like, I was playing very well, like, I was out of my mind for my skill level. And he goes, hey, we just started a new program at Long Island University, Division I school. It's in New York City. You want to come check it out? I said, no, I'm not going to college. He goes, dude, it'd probably be worth it to check it out. Like, come see what it's about. We'll fly out to New York. Get the whole experience, at least see what you're missing out on. I was like, good sales tactic. But
why not?
Fly out to New York, check the place out, go out to dinner around the Brooklyn Bridge. They're showing us the gym, they're showing us my locker. I'm like,
the big picture.
I'll check this out for a year. Like, we'll see what's up. I'll see what it is. And then I went for a year. It was kind of fun the first year. Had less fun the second year. We did some cool stuff in volleyball. We took a set off like the number one team in the country at the time, Hawaii. They won the national championship that year. We beat them in a set, which was like a crazy deal. And then I just left. So I say all of that to say, I'm like tying it back into this point of my parents gave me pushback at first. And then I went and tried it, and like my mom's an accountant. Like, she was seeing my tax returns coming in, and she was like, okay.
My son is balling.
While you're at school, okay, like, you know what you're doing. Yeah. You have a good head on your shoulder, you can figure it out. So I say all that to say, like, if you're getting pushback from your parents or from people around you, consistently just show up and prove yourself to the point where like, okay, he knows what he's talking about. Like, he's making the right choice for himself. He's using actual data points and actual logic to make a decision. And I just like, oh, I feel like dropping out. Which is like, if that's the case for you, you probably shouldn't drop out. Like, it was a calculated play for me. But I say all that to say, like, my kid will have a good head on his shoulders.
Good.
If he thinks going to school is going to be the best thing for him, I'm sure that he'll do it and have a great time. But whatever you're doing, the moral of all this, at least for me, and whatever you're going to be doing, is just do it right and put your best effort into it. Yeah. So, like, if I was going to college, there was a point where I was at LIU. It was, like, finishing up my first year. I had 4.0 that last semester. And I was like, I'm going to go to Stanford business school. I said, I'm going to keep trying in school. I'm going to go to the Stanford graduate school of business. That's going to be my thing. And like, I'm going to meet all these people. I'm going to learn all this business. That was like my thing for like 6 months. And I was like grinding in school, like never before seen, to like get the grades better and do better. So yeah. I would say in terms of public school system, to answer quickly, I think it's completely shot unless you go to the right school. I plan on homeschooling my kids, but I'm also 21 and my opinion on that could change with the wind. I'm not concrete in any of those opinions, but I will say, all of that to say, just whatever you're going to do, do it right.
Bro, I totally agree with you. I'm going to homeschool my kids. Yeah. Like, straight up, I don't believe in the school system anymore. Like, I don't believe that, like, unless the teacher has built multiple businesses and, like, I want my kids to be set up for success, I'm going to lead by example, dude. I'm not going to tell them what they're going to do, but I'm going to give them examples so they have options of the life they could live, you know? Because it's a big difference when, like, your parents pull up, let's say in a Ferrari or like in a luxury car, and you're playing with the actual toys, dude, as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you have a friend whose dad or mom is not that well off, and they're driving a Toyota Camry or a minivan. And now the kid's like, hey, how come their parents are not driving? Well, you know, you make decisions in life.
Daddy worked hard.
Exactly. You can work hard. You can have what you want, or you can work for someone else, not think much, and, you know, go do that. And not to say that 9-to-5 is bad. Not to say. I know I have a lot of successful friends, a lot of successful family members that actually work a 9-to-5, and they're content, dude. It comes down to fulfillment. It comes down to fulfillment, bro.
Yes.
So let me ask you, leading up to this question, is what is currently fulfilling you, bro? Like, what is the most fulfilling portion about what you're doing right now?
It's the messages I get from younger guys on Instagram.
Yeah.
Where, like, because I went through a long period, and still, like, back home, like, I still get people chirping me, like, oh, what's Dan doing on social media? So I'm like, I'm doing all right at this point. Like, I understood it when I was first, like, getting started, and people are like, oh, what's this guy doing on TikTok? Or what's he doing on Instagram? But, like, you go through a lot of, like, chirping, and people will poke at you. Like, anytime you're doing something meaningful, people who thought about doing that, who decided not to do it, will pull you down because they see you doing something that they wanted to do but they couldn't act on. Mm. That's something, if you can internalize that, you're gonna be very, very liberated in your mind, because it's tough, dude. Like, when I was first getting started on social media and taking it seriously and doing like the social media, like, tips, content, stuff like that, people, oh, who's this guy to talk about this? What's Dan doing? What's he doing this? Oh, chirp, 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 chirp. And now you do it for so long, you get to a point, like, I get messages like weekly of kids, like, I'm doing a project there for school. Like, I'm interviewing successful entrepreneurs. Like, can we jump on a Zoom? Or like, what's the biggest piece of advice you have to get wealthy? Or like, Dan, I saw one of your YouTube videos, bro, fucking changed my life. I'm 16. Like, I'm thinking about not going to college. And I'll send him a voice memo back and be like, hey, like, make sure you're making the right choice for you. Like, make sure you're using Logic, like, dude, appreciate this. I'm here for it if you need anything. And just like that support from the younger generation, because I never had somebody, like, growing up that was like, hey, if you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. Like, this is a path for you. So I got that from YouTube.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to give that back. So that's the most fulfilling thing. And second most fulfilling thing for me right now is just getting texts from clients like, how the fuck did you grow it this fast?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, dude, it's what I do.
Dude, you're crushing it, bro. And, you know, one thing I really like about you, bro, is that you speak from the heart, man. You speak from the heart. You're passionate. You're driven. And you just want to crush it. And that's what it's about, dude. So you're going to change a lot of lives with this pod, dude.
One more thing really quick. I know I'm about to wrap up. No, but for anyone Gen Z listening to this, you say you're very driven, you're very passionate. I also said I don't have a concrete why, which is completely true. Yeah. But if you're in Gen Z and you're listening to this right now, the opportunity that's in front of you is unreal.
Yeah.
Think about your competition, your competitors. They're scrolling TikTok, hopping on PS5. Yo, boys, where we land in Fortnite? What game are we jumping on tonight? That is who you're competing with, bro. If you just grab life by the balls and decide to work hard and, like, use your brain a little bit, like, odds are you're smart if you're reading this. If you use your brain and exercise it and work hard, you will literally dust everybody.
Yeah.
In our generation. Because I'm Gen Z as well. Like, you can smoke all of your competition if you just try. Like, actually try.
I mean, absolutely, dude. Age 21, you're in Scottsdale, Arizona with multimillionaires and even billionaires and even right now, After today, you're going to be flying to New York to help a billionaire grow his brand, bro, which is crazy. It's nuts.
I'm so excited about that. I want to make one more point, too, about like all this flying around and stuff. When I was in Scottsdale, the day I landed in Scottsdale marked the end of a week trip in four different continents. I went from Spain to Medellin to tie up some loose ends with a podcast studio. Went from Medellin to Dubai to film like a marketing piece of content for a networking group that I'm in. And flew from Dubai to Arizona within the span of 1 week. I was really tired. I didn't even know if it was jet lagged or just like it equaled out and I was like fine. But it was like the most ridiculous time zone swap in 1 week of all time. But I credit everything that I know, all of the people that I know, all of the knowledge I have, all of the experience that I have. People say, oh, it feels like I'm talking to someone my age at 36. It's because I crammed a bunch of experiences in to a small period of time. Because like I think if you throw me up against an average 36-year-old that like went the college route, got the 9-to-5, like started the family, I think I've probably done more things.
Oh, 100%.
Like, so with that being said, you gotta say fuck it sometimes. Mm. Like if there's a little bit of logic that you have, fuck it with a little bit of logic is a dangerous combo for you, bro. Yeah. Like even dude, this Miami trip, like I'm gonna do this podcast, I'm gonna go see my guy Tanner Chittister, who's a consulting client of mine. I'm gonna go stay with him for a little bit and then I'm gonna fly up to New York tomorrow. But we're building a good relationship, build a relationship with him. I'm gonna go meet up with a couple other dudes like later tonight and just like strengthen some relationships. But most people be like, oh, what's $300 to fly to Miami, it's $300 back to New York, I had $600 for that. And people will think, so like they'll quantify everything into money. Mm-hmm. I spent so much money at the beginning of my business doing things for people for free. Like absolutely. I probably spent $15,000-$20,000 that like I barely had at the time because I was fresh out of college on servicing people for free.
Yeah.
And those people that I service for free put me in touch with some of the most powerful people that I know right now.
I love that. I love that, dude. And Tanner, yeah, I know Tanner, dude.
Tanner's a dog, bro.
He's a G, dude.
I'm going there right after this.
No, he's a G, definitely in digital marketing, brother. But all right, dude, to end this, where can they find you? Where can they go ahead and actually get in touch with you, dude? And then anything that you would want to provide of value to the audience actually listening and watching this on YouTube?
Yeah, dude. I mean, well, I appreciate you guys listening. I know it can be difficult to listen to me yap for long periods of time at sometimes. But if you did enjoy it to any extent, I'm on Instagram at Coolness, COOLNESS. That's where everything happens. Me and my team are on there all the time. I'll be checking the messages a little bit more after this pod drops if some of you guys are coming in and checking it out. But there is something I will touch on that's like it's not released just yet. It's still like a concept. And I hope you trust me when I say, if I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it right.
Yeah.
There's communities, courses, programs, Q&A sessions, webinars, all of this stuff that people are selling for tens of thousands of dollars in the social media space that honestly, like I paid for all of them. Yeah. I've seen all of them on the inside. And what I'm about to do for free for the community is gonna be better than those. So I'm building out the most epic social media creator circle of all time. It's gonna be everything I know about social media and all these courses. There's gonna be a community, Q&A sessions, webinars. We're just building a lit community. And I'm gonna do it for free for the community because like I just wanna give back. And I know that resources that I had like this when I was coming up were super useful. There's nowhere you can find it just yet. But if you follow me on Instagram, shoot me a message. I'll be keeping you guys up to date with that. I'm not sure exactly the ETA on it, but that's something that's coming down the pipe. So that's something I'm really excited for.
Dude, you're going to get the people blowing up my DMs and be like, bro, you got to tell Danny to hurry up because they want this information, dude. They're hungry for it. You know, you just laid it down, dude. Like if I was like freaking 16 to 21 right now, I'd be like, oh, snap. Like, dude, I got to follow Danny. I got to follow his journey and I got to go ahead and level up because that's what it's about, dude. You're leading the way, especially for Gen Z right now. Dude, man, inspirational. Inspirational. But guys, if you guys want to go ahead and actually find more about Danny, check out the links below. And I'm Paul Alex, and this is the Level Up Podcast. Catch you next time.
Remember, I always have your six. Make sure to share this episode with your family, friends, and anyone you care about. The world's already hard enough, and we need to take care of each other. Make sure to share this episode on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and share it with the world. Do me a big favor and tag me, Paul Alex. Also, keep the 5-star reviews on iTunes coming. This episode is going to help change the way the world thinks and will help everyone level up in their life. And lastly, if you want to continue to level up, learn more about business and life, then make sure to get a copy of my book, From Blue to Digital Gold, The New American Dream, on Amazon or at officialpaulalex.com.